host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
You know, Mata, thinking about how, you know, professional football has evolved into our national pastime. And one reason, John, is that every week, you know, we'll go around the country and people will say, did you see that game? Did you see this? Did you hear about that? Did you watch this? This is the perfect way to end the season with a classic Super Bowl.
Right, and everyone says, who's going to win the Super Bowl? They all wait for this day. And then congratulations to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, winning the Lombardi Trophy and be the champions, that's great. But also congratulations to the Arizona Cardinals. I think when you can play a game like this, I think you have to be proud of all the players and coaches and everything that they laid out on that field today. That was a real super Super Bowl.
After 30 years, John Madden, the voice of the NFL, I think, the best sports analyst that ever was, retires, deciding to leave the game and spend more time with his family, as he had dedicated his whole life, actually, to football, because he was a player, he was a coach, and then ultimately in 1979 he jumped into the booth. And it's legendary, his partners and his calls and the games that he was involved with. And, you know, I liked his sense of humor. I liked the way that he described games to the common man, no matter what your knowledge of the game was or your level was. And the players liked him. So he had great inside information that he would talk about on the airwaves that made it interesting. We would talk about being, you know, talking to whatever the running back was, spending time with Emmitt Smith, spending time with the greats of the game, Phil Simms, whoever, in various Super Bowl years. And he was quite charming, I thought, and just very, very good at what he did. He's one of a kind. We'll never have another John Madden. We might have good, solid broadcasters. We might have great analysis down the road of football games. We might have great tandems again, but I don't think we'll ever see another John Madden. I don't think it's true that you can replace everybody. There are people who are simply not replaceable, and he is one of those guys. Chris Collinsworth will step in. He's already obviously with NBC, and you've seen him do many broadcasts, and I think he won't try to be John Madden. He'll just do what he does, and people will either like Chris or they won't like Chris, but that's it. John Madden's gone. He's the replacement, and there was no big farewell send-off for John Madden. Hopefully, I said this before earlier on America Tonight, somebody will talk him into it, whether it's the commissioner, Roger Goodell, or Dick Ebersol, his wife, his family, whoever. Hopefully, they'll do something for him, because I think the NFL owes it to him, and I'm sure they would have, but he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to say, I'm coming back for one more year, and let's do these great games and have the time of our life, and that's it, because people would really, really have played it up in every single city that he went to. I guarantee it. If you have a Madden memory you want to share, please do it. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Coming up on the show, we are going to talk to the son of a pretty well-known gangster on the West Coast. And I think you'll be shocked to hear some of his stories and some of the people that his family hung out with. Maybe you won't be surprised about that part. You got to think of Los Angeles in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And anyway, you'll enjoy this conversation. If you were a fan of The Sopranos, or probably a better comparison would be if you watched The Godfather at all, then you'll understand what Johnny Battaglia is talking about when he talks about his father and the things that they did. It's reality. It's not television. Speaking of reality, those memos from the CIA released, and it caused gasps in some circles, because specific things were listed as to what was done in these interrogations. We knew about waterboarding. We knew about a bunch of other things. But to actually read some of the things, the other things that were done, the walling and all that other stuff, it has many people infuriated that nobody's being prosecuted for this, but I think it's, I'm going to give Obama an A plus for not seeking anything to with these former CIA employees, because what would that do? I think it's time to move on from that. Obviously, for so many, it's a dark period, but you have to think of the period that we were in. And I won't belabor this point anymore. 2001, we know it changed everything. 3,000 people dead here in America on our streets. It could have been worse because there were plans to take down other buildings in other cities. That didn't happen, but it was ugly and awful, and there's still a great big hole in New York as a result of that. So my only question is, did it work? Did the interrogation techniques, did they work? Was any information from these detainees, these suspected thugs from Al-Qaeda, Taliban, etc., did any of it work? That's one thing that's not made clear. And if somebody could answer that question, that might change the thought process a little bit. All right, another big story besides Madden and the CIA releasing the president releasing the CIA Bush era memos, four of them, and there are probably more that will eke out. I'm sure more will eke out in the next coming months or so, because this lawsuit will continue. Another big story on the lighter side that happened, that's, we'll have to ask Harry Rinker about the Guru of the Collectibles thing that does a show here on the network called What You Got, is this deal that researchers say they might have found Cleopatra's tomb. Yeah, I had to make sure I at least mentioned that on the air. So apparently this team is going to break ground and do this excavation of this temple where they believe Cleopatra and Mark Antony might have been buried. Do you know how huge this is? I don't know, because I'm a fan of history. You got to think about this. Cleopatra ruled Egypt between 51 BC until her suicide in 30 BC. And, I mean, we are talking unearthing massive history here if this is true. I'd be pretty psyched if I was one of the people on this team. And you have to figure if they're breaking ground in this and they're going down, they have to have reason to believe that they found this site. This would be one of the biggest archaeological finds in a very long time. I mean, maybe I'd venture to say in two decades, maybe longer than that. But wow, how about it? Finding all that history underneath the earth. I'm like a fan of this whole Indiana Jones things. If I wasn't doing this, and if I had the wherewithal for that, I can't imagine clawing around, finding some of those old remains, some of the things they find, the fossils, the stuff. Just absolutely amazing. And we do have an announcement to make. Breaking news, because, you know, we're live here on America Tonight. Water cooler buzz and all that. I'm sure you'll be pleased to know that, yes, Ashton Kutcher hit his 1 million in the Twitter contest. Do people listening to me know what Twitter is? Yep. He beat out CNN on a popularity contest to see who could quickly attract 1 million followers on the site called Twitter. He challenged them to the race. He said he would donate 10,000 mosquito bed nets to charity for World Malaria Day in late April if he beat CNN. He did it. How about that? Check it out. On the flip side, we got movies. Hang with us.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Chews for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to OrderChoose.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel with Midas Resources. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation is on the rise. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? As the economy continues to deteriorate due to corporate greed and government intervention, more people will lose their jobs and worse, their life savings. Having your hard-earned money in banks, the stock market, or any other paper asset is a lose-lose deal. You'll lose on your capital investment and you'll lose purchasing power as the dollar continues to devalue. One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens, your investment will never be worthless. If you've been thinking about investing in the physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I will take the time personally to put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call Peter, 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
So this movie is getting all the buzz so far, at least this week, with the new releases, and it's called State of Play. You might have seen a clip or two of it if you're watching any tube at all this last couple of weeks, actually. A lot of well-known actors and actresses are in it. Russell Crowe, Ben Affleck's in it, Rachel McAdams is in it, Helen Mirren's in it, Robin Wright Penn is in it. And it runs almost 2 hours. The basic premise here is, I'm going to let you hear a little trailer of it, but that you've got a U.S. congressman, and he is pretty much the future of the party, right? And he is, quotes, an honorable appointee who serves as the chairman of a committee that's overseeing defense spending. Things get pretty dicey after that. Listen to this.
You're just seeking the truth, that's all. You're a truth seeker. That's all. You can't help it. It's who you are. You're such a hypocrite. You're not interested in me. Me coming here was all about you and getting your story. I trusted you. You're my friend. You were supposed to be my friend when you were my wife. You're my friend, Cal. I never would have done this to you.
I'm sorry, Stephen. Okay? I'm sorry about all of it. Please, look. I can understand why you hate me for it. You just got to put aside how you feel about me and stay with us. We're so close. Single part of this, I have put myself on the line.
All right, so that's just a little clip. We don't want to spoil it completely for you. It could be good or could flop because maybe there's too much expectation on this one. I'm hoping it's good because actually I'm going to go see it. Hey, Matt Johnson, are you going to go see this one?
I think I will check that one out. It looks not a fan of Ben Affleck, but I will go see it.
I'm not a big fan of his either, but there's something about it. I like the intrigue, the espionage thing. I like the premise of this movie. That's why I would probably go see it.
Yeah, definitely. It's got, you know, one of those twisting stories that you don't know how it's going to end up. It's one of those movies that you watch once, and then you already know the ending, so you probably don't watch it a second time.
Well said. Hey, another movie that's opening up that a lot of people liked at some of the film festivals is one called American Violet, and it's about a 20-something African-American single mom who's trying to make ends meet, and she's struggling in a very small Texas town. Take a listen to this.
Ms. Roberts, you're charged with distributing narcotics.
That can't be right. I never had anything to do with drugs.
What's happening in Melody is happening all over our country. Drug task forces use military tactics to terrorize poor people.
Hey, girl.
Figured I better come get the girls.
You know D got custody.
D's in jail.
Meanwhile, federal money goes to the counties that convict the most people, and plea bargains are aggressively pushed to hasten those convictions.
If you don't take the plea, we will prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law.
16 to 25 years.
I can't do that. I mean, what am I going to do about my kids?
All right, and this movie's got some well-known people as well in it. Alfred Woodard's in it. Michael O'Keefe is in it. And it's, as I said, got a lot of play in the independent film festivals. You can tell what it's about by that little clip that we played there for you. There's a bunch of other movies that are out, too, like Crank High Voltage is one. And that movie, excuse me, is about a hitman who's kidnapped by a Chinese mobster. Ooh, speaking of mobsters, that's what we're talking about next. And that kind of takes you all over the place in a wild twists and turns as well. It has this mixture of things, pretty high speed, high fat, you know, high chase scenes and lots of chase scenes, rather, and that kind of stuff. Okay, there's another movie as well that we're going to let you hear a little slice of. It's called Is Anybody There?
Well, it's a bit like that, isn't it?
It is a bit like that.
Just give it a go.
This is temporary.
When Clarence arrived at the Lark Hall retirement home...
Oh.
It was the last place he wanted to be.
A lot of jabbering simpletons rushing about. People you don't know telling you what to do.
Who is he, Dad?
Little old fart. Must be the wife.
For Edward.
Oh, is she dead?
Growing up in Lark Hall, life was anything but ordinary.
This is Delilah.
Yeah, well, I used to have a beautiful wife and all my own teeth. Your life changes.
You're very fortunate, you know. You've got all these old people around. All these amazing stories. Are you a magician?
Okay, with that.
Why don't you start again?
All right, again, pretty explanatory. They gave you pretty much the whole story just by listening to that little clip there. I think you got a sense of what that is about anyway. Now, normally we would shove somebody into the dungeon. In fact, I think I said I was going to do that earlier, but I'm going to take a skip on that because there's a lot of things to be happy about, like the captain coming back to the U.S., sad about Madden, but happy to celebrate John Madden and watching all the football games I watched over the years with him at the helm. So instead, I'm going to run through a couple of these, what happened on this day in history, and also give you some birthdays as well. And why does it, I know I say this too much, but it seems like time is just shoveling through. It's like we're in this little cylinder and it just flies by. I cannot believe it is already Friday, but yes, it is. I think there's 258 days left in the year, if I'm correct in that. Where does it all go? Speaking of the CIA, in 1961, 1,500 CIA-trained Cuban exiles launched the disastrous Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba in a failed attempt to overthrow the government of Fidel Castro. Still rather hard feelings about that, but of course Obama this week saying that Cuban Americans could go and visit as much as they wanted and send money to people in Cuba, but the embargo has not been lifted. A couple of other things that happened as well on this day way back when. In 1790, American statesman Ben Franklin died in Philly. He was 84 years old. Here's a quick quiz. What did he die of? If you were thinking syphilis, you could be getting warm. In 1895, or 1941, big difference there, Yugoslavia surrendered to Germany in World War II. In 1964, Ford Motor unveiled its new Mustang. How many people salivate still over a Mustang? They did it at New York's World's Fair. And also, Jerry Mock from Columbus, Ohio, became the first woman to complete a solo airplane flight around the world. 1969, a jury in L.A. convicted Sirhan Sirhan of assassinating Senator Robert F. Kennedy, the first secretary of Czechoslovakia's Communist Party. Alexander Dubček was deposed as well. In 1970, the astronauts of Apollo 13, yeah, baby, they splashed down in the Pacific. That was 4 days after a ruptured oxygen tank crippled their spacecraft. If you saw any of the Tom Hanks Apollo stuff, you would have seen the dramatic replay of that. Celebrating a birthday, some names that you might recognize, including rapper actor Redman is 39, actress Jennifer Garner, who is Ben Affleck's wife, who's in State of Play, 37, singer Victoria Adams Beckham from Spice Girls is 35, actress-singer Lindsay Corman is 31. Also, actress Dee Dee Davis is 13. On the opposite end of the birthday scale, actress Olivia Hussey is 58 years old. Actor Clark Peters is 57. If you ever heard of this group called the Buzzcocks, rock musician Pete Shelley is 54 years old. You would have heard this name. Rock promoter Don Kirshner is 75. He was a heavy hitter, certainly, in the business. Jan Hammer, a composer you might have heard of as well, did a lot of movie scores and whatnot, is 61 years old. Also celebrating a birthday, actor Sean Bean is 50. If you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday to you. I'd like to say this every once in a while. Don't let people trick you with those fake candles because it just looks really, really bad in the end, doesn't it? Coming up, we're going to speak with the son of a famous mobster, Johnny Battaglia, and he'll relive some of what his childhood was like and some of the things that he overheard and some of the things that he learned about being in a mobster family, saying that the stereotypes are somewhat true and maybe a little bit on the exaggerated side. But this is the son of somebody who actually put hits on people and that kind of stuff as well. If you looked in the encyclopedia under Mafia, his name would come up certainly. We'll meet you on the flip side.
Any birthday singers? Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%. We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, Google, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
With an economy that continues to plummet, many of us will have to make the difficult decision to cut back on our expenses. One thing we cannot afford to cut back on, though, is our health. If you suffer from chronic illness, stress, a weak immune system, or just always feel tired, you need to visit Shentrition.com. The philosophy at Shentrition is to feed the body what it needs, plus heal the body with food. One scoop a day with water, milk, or juice will have you feeling better in no time, giving you more stamina and energy, helping to alleviate stress, boosting your natural healing power, strengthen your immune system, and it tastes great too. Shentrition is all natural, wheat-free, dairy-free, and 100% vegetarian. Discover the ancient secrets of healing, wellness, and longevity at Shentrition.com. That's S-H-E-N-T-R-I-T-I-O-N, Shentrition.com, or call 1-866-497-7436. That's 1-866-497-7436 today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The Gambino crime family. And the world, of course, fascinated by New Jersey and New York because of the Sopranos and the stranglehold they had on the ratings, frankly, at least in that HBO series. It's absolutely incredible, so well done. Joining us now here on America Tonight, Johnny Bennett Battaglia. His father was part of the West Coast Mafia, and boy, he was really entrenched in it when he was a kid, in that whole culture. Think of the stereotypes. When I was on the air at WFAN in New York, I remember a lot of Italian folks didn't like that whole comparison with the mafia and got really, really upset. And part of that was due to some of the portrayals by the Sopranos. But I've had other people tell me they were dead on. He's got a new book out called Mafia, Cowboys, and Cocktails. You got to love that. You go from the mafia to being a cowboy. Hey, Johnny, thanks for hanging with us on ATN.
Hi, Kate. How's it going back there?
It's going good, buddy. You know, it's funny that you would know this much better than I, because, of course, your father, very well known, John the Bat Battaglia, and, of course, you're also the nephew of Charlie Bats Battaglia. Tell everybody, for those who are, I'll say, virgins to the whole mafia culture, who they were.
Well, yes. You know, first I got to say, Battaglia is good, but Battaglia, the G is
Battaglia.
Solid.
Battalion,
yeah, it's just one of those little things. You know, I'd like to start, if I could, by you used to do a sports news talk show in Dallas, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to tell you a quick Dallas story about Dad when I was a very, very young boy. He was in Dallas doing syndicating racehorses. I should preface this by saying there were 5 original families. The Bonanno family is the family that my father was affiliated with, and Joe Bonanno was from Sicily, of course, Castellammare, Sicily, and he was one of the five families, and they were basically from New York. They branched out west in the 40s, but Dad was syndicating racehorses. You know, and when you're selling something or syndicating, putting a group of investors together, you're supposed to sell 100% of something. Well, Dad sold usually about 1,000% of different things, you know, and then just kind of let the chips fall where they may after that. Well, he had just promoted a Texas oil man, I remember his name, but I won't say it right now, for $10,000 for a buy-in, and the guy got cold feet, and so he called the Texas Rangers. Well, the Texas Rangers, you know, accosted Dad. They didn't arrest him. They accosted him, and they took his $10,000 in cash, threw him in the trunk of their cruiser for 2 days in the Dallas heat and humidity, and he was in there for 2 days before they came. Then they got him out, and they said, "You got any money on you?" He said, "No, some rednecks took it from me," and they arrested him for vagrancy. They threw him in the drunk tank where he resided for the next week. He was missing, and nobody really knew where he was at until my mom called Jack Dragna, who was the head at that time of the L.A. Mafia, also known as the Mickey Mouse Mafia. That's what the guys back east called it because, you know, hey, Disneyland. But anyway, yeah. So after a week in squalid conditions, you know, this dapper man was finally bailed out after a few calls by Jack Dragna to, are you ready for this? Jack Ruby is the guy who bailed him out, and I corroborated this through jail records.
Wow. That's an incredible story, actually. And you have a ton of them. I mean, you could probably fill up a week's worth of talk radio with the stories and some of the things that you heard and saw, I'm sure, as a kid.
Okay, let's do that.
What was it like growing up around this? Are the stereotypes right on? I've had people tell me they are pretty close.
Well, I'll tell you something. The Sopranos, the only thing that was, you know, really super right on. And Godfather, you know, the Tattaglia family and the Godfather,
yes.
The actual, maybe the greatest film ever made, you know.
Yeah.
I may be a little prejudiced, but I think it's one of the greatest films ever made. Tattaglia's in that book were supposedly part of the Battaglias, which is my family, a rough comparison. Also, Johnny Fontaine, and that was supposed to be Frank Sinatra, very much a paralleled story to his. And but the character was Johnny Fontaine, who was an amalgamation, people say, of my father, Johnny Battaglia, and his first wife, Jackie Fontaine, who was a major singer and actress at the time. The guys in L.A., the mob in L.A., they were matinee idols almost. Johnny Stompanato dated Lana Turner, and he was nothing but a bodyguard for Mickey Cohen, who was my father's partner in gambling operations. So it was they had a little bit of latitude in Los Angeles, and yet my dad said one time, every time a bird farted, he was called in for questioning.
So it's a little bit different than the East Coast, and that's how it's portrayed. You're right, that's how it's portrayed, especially in The Godfather. Certainly,
correct.
You can see the differences there. What about your uncle Charlie? What was Charlie known for, Battaglia? What was he known for?
Right. Well, yeah, thanks for saying it right. Uncle Charlie, he was great to us, you know. He worked for Joe Bonanno in Tucson. Joe Sr. hasn't been gone all that long. He was one of the original five families of the Mafia. I watched Dad play tennis with Joe in Tucson one time, you know, Joe Bonanno. Well, my dad was the captain of the tennis team at Terminal Island Federal Penitentiary in San Pedro on the ocean in Los Angeles. So I've got a picture of him as captain of the tennis team with these hoods. It's hilarious. Anyway, I find it funny. But Uncle Charlie was the real deal. There's a book called The Last Mafioso that Jimmy the Weasel Fratiano wrote before. This was before they changed the law to where you couldn't profit from this sort of thing. Jimmy was on 60 Minutes, and he was one of the, and probably maybe the first and most important mafia turncoat, if you will, best friends with Mom and Dad. Best friends. One time he called me at my mother's house, and I spoke with him while he was in the witness protection program. I spoke with him at length, and he told me about Uncle Charlie who he had nothing to gain or lose by telling me that they were the principals in the whacking of the two Tonys, Tony Brancato and Tony Trombino. It's a very famous mafia hit on the left coast. Uncle Charlie was instrumental in that. Of course, Jimmy painted him as a semi-coward, that he had to yell at him because it was Uncle Charlie's first piece of work. And so he had to yell at him, and then Charlie pulled the trigger. And then later he told me that my uncle had tried to rape his wife in the backseat of a car. So, you know, I think that might have tainted his impression of my uncle somewhat. But, yeah, these were bad, bad guys.
And did so you just grew up, and as a little boy, would you just sort of hear bits and pieces of things, like there was a hit or there was this or, you know, they knocked over a truck?
Yeah, I would. Very intuitive. Now, you got to understand, I was extremely precocious. I was a very precocious youngster. I was aware of my surroundings. I was an old soul. I was an actor and a movie star, and not through my dad's doing, by the way. He was having legal struggles, and when Mom left, we were next-door neighbors on Mulholland Drive in the Hollywood Hills with a gal that danced in all the beach party movies with Frankie and Annette, my great friend Sherry Lampkin, and we decided to hook her and Dad up, her two sons and Eddie, and I started following her to interviews. And I said, I want to do this. And I started getting major motion pictures. I did a lot of acting as a youth, and before Dad got thrown in the penitentiary. And then we moved to a small cowboy community in Oregon, which is the middle part of the book and not even the last. But while we're on the mafia, I remember the day Kennedy was shot and Dad surrounding himself with all the periodicals of the day and talking to people in New Orleans and different places. It's too heavy and too scary to really even talk about, but he would always sum things up, you know, and almost to, not to anyone in particular, but to whoever was listening, he would say, Oswald didn't do it.
And it was, really?
This is my interpretation of the thing. Oswald didn't do it. I mean, this is scary, scary, big stuff. And I went through the Freedom of Information Act for my book, which is available at Amazon.com. It's really the only place you can get it if you're interested in pursuing one heck of a story.
So in looking at that, when you're talking about the Kennedy stuff, was he alluding to the fact that he thought the mob did it then? He thought it was old Sammy, maybe?
Well, there are people, you know, there are people that have been considered for that job, so to speak, mm-hmm. and they may well have been. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not in a position to say unequivocally.
Right.
I knew some of the people he talked to on that very day, but. You know, this is stuff that I'd like to tread lightly on. And
I understand.
You know, who needs that kind of heat?
Right, I understand.
I've had heat my whole life because of who I am and had this to overcome. And, overcome or, you know, a lot of people that had a dad who was strong, let's say, in the arts or the entertainment or, you know, my dad had a quote. He said it was better to be infamous than not famous at all. I disagree with that totally. Now that I'm 53 years old and have seen the world through the eyes of someone who thought that. And lately, of course, you know, Andy Warhol's mantra, 15 minutes of fame. This is a 15-minute interview, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is your 15 minutes? You have many more. You've had many more 15 minutes of fame, I think, for back in the acting days and everything else.
Exactly. And the thing is that, no, I do not agree with that. And, you know, they did a survey here recently where kids were asked what's the most important. I think it was CBS News did a pretty broad interview of what's the most important thing in this life. And they said to be famous.
Oh, I know. I saw that.
Did you?
Oh, isn't that crazy? Hey, Johnny, can you hang on and we'll meet you on the flip side?
I'm going to send somebody out to rough you up.
Thanks, Johnny. Johnny Bennett Battaglia. Coming back on the flip side, because he's got other things to talk about, the whole cowboy deal and finish up with the mob. Oh, my. Hang with us here on ATN.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco with detailed growing guides available to you at no charge. You can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We continue our conversation with somebody who grew up with the mafia and somehow went from the mafia, as I said earlier, to ending up going to become a cowboy through a mother's relationship. We'll get to that in a second here. Coming up later, we're going to talk about the CIA interrogation tactics and all that other sort of stuff as well mixed in. Johnny Bennett Battaglia, though, he was his father was a big part of the West Coast Mafia. We've been talking about it. Johnny, thanks for hanging through with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. I bought five products while I was waiting.
The book is called, you're very funny, the book is called Mafia, Cowboys, and Cocktails, and you can get it on Amazon.com. And the great thing is no one's going to break your knuckles. You can just go there and order it, and that's what it is. Hey, so when you grow up as a kid, though, you know how we all, a lot of times we want to emulate our fathers, our family, whatever. Did you want to be really, did you want to be part of the business? Did you want to, like Tony's son in The Sopranos, did you want to be that guy?
Nobody wants to be Tony's son in The Sopranos. I mean, the guy flunked. He couldn't even commit suicide properly.
True.
You know, but I gotta tell you, those guys were right on The Sopranos. Some of those guys, Paulie, a few of those guys, we had to call all of them uncle when I was growing up. That would be Uncle Paulie, Uncle. You know, this was family. And oh man, they were dynamite, just dynamite. I've never seen anything like it. And mixed in with the music and everything. Did I want to be like that? I wanted to be a movie star. I mean, I saw it. I was around it. Dad was friends with people like Joseph Pasternak, who did Dr. Zhivago. And, I mean, he was on first-name basis with a lot of these guys because they love to gamble, for one thing. I mean, you know, when you've got that kind of money, what are you going to do with it? You know, and Dad helped him do something with it, and it made it seem fun up until the point where, you know, like Monty Hall, do you remember Let's Make a Deal?
Yeah.
Okay, Monty liked to play the horses. Okay, and he owed Dad a bunch of money, Dad and Mickey Cohen. That's not healthy. He had a show at the time where fathers and sons would get together and ride these golf carts around and get all these prizes and everything. Well, my brother got on the show, my older brother, imagine that. We were in parochial school at St. Ambrose at the time in Los Angeles, and Sister Amata was the greatest shortstop I've ever seen. She was amazing. I think she had wheels on under the habit. Anyway, so they went on there and won thousands and thousands of dollars worth of camping gear, 500-gallon aquariums. You can't even believe what they won. And this was, you know, a nationally televised thing. So did I want to be him? No, I wanted to be a movie star. When I went to college 1 year at the University of Oregon, I decided that wasn't for me. I had the attention span of a wet dish rag. And I went down and visited Uncle Charlie in Tucson in 1975 and asked him, you know, hey, let's do this. Well, he'd recently been just gotten out of Leavenworth for interstate transportation of stolen goods and pinball machines and this kind of thing. So he said, no, son, there's nothing here for you. He suggested I go back to school. And I'd already been to 15 of them. My mother married a very famous rodeo cowboy, and we were at a very impressionable age. And we got involved in the world of rodeo. My brother became a nationally recognized rodeo rider. Bronc riding was his event. We actually produced the livestock and promoted and produced rodeos. So that was kind of the middle portion of my younger life.
And doing that, it's different, obviously, going into the rodeo environment. What did you find? What was that like for you? What was that transition like?
So interesting. You know, I was lucky in a way. It's kind of a young guy's ideal. I mean, we drove tractors and trucks and equipment, and you know, you shot guns, and and they drank beer and chased girls, and it was totally different from the LA. Very respectful, you know. You better do everything right, and you know, I mean, we got so wild they had to rope us to hand us our mail.
Yeah, but I'm buff. We need a rim shot for that. Yeah, there you go. So you could actually ride, though. I mean, you learned how to do all this stuff.
I rode bulls in the rodeo. Yeah,
wow.
I have a hip now that's bone on bone from it, arthritic. I got slammed into a wall one time at a rodeo on a Brahma bull. And let me tell you, it's no picnic.
What did your dad think of you guys doing that? His son.
Well, there's a funny link here. Sicilians in Sicily, there was a cowboy element there. You know, they raised livestock and they had cattle and they roped and rode and, you know, there was a cowboy element. And it's an element that Sicilians fit into somehow extremely well. Joe Bonanno had a son, not Bill, but the next one down, can't think of his name. He was and is, to my knowledge, a cowboy. It just, it kind of fits somehow. You know, if you've got that gene where the excitement, the adrenaline is part of your makeup, there's an excitement gene. I don't know what it is. I ain't Dr. Phil.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, you're going to be a jet pilot, you're going to be a stock car racer, you're going to be a rodeo rider, you're going to be a mafioso. So, yeah, cowboy is it's there.
Yeah, the adrenaline rush. I totally get that. So you're raised in this mafia environment. You end up doing the cowboy thing, and then what? Then what's the cocktails?
I have no idea. I was drinking.
Yeah, you just went to the right after that. It was booze. On to the booze. I'm tired now.
No, I was a professional entertainer, singer, songwriter, musician for quite a few years, and I traveled around. And you know, I love to make people laugh, but I did it mainly at my own expense. I did a lot of things. I did a lot more acting. I got charted with records. I did a lot of things, but mainly I was a champion at debauching myself. You know, I had no problem with. I never wanted to be better than anybody. I always wanted to be liked. So I found the lowest common denominator and tried to take it down one notch. You know, I used to tell people I didn't have a drinking problem. Drinking had my problems. I made light of it. You know, I said I've never. You know, people say you got to hit rock bottom. I just keep lowering the rocks. You know, I had a lot of things, a lot of issues. You know, and from my childhood, you know, my mom shot my dad in the guts. That's where the book opens. My book opens right with my mother shooting my dad in the Hollywood Hills. I'm like 6 or 7 years old, and the next thing I see, this is where my book opens. Dad being hauled out of the house on a stretcher with enough people to form a human chain around the house and hold hands. I mean, the paper said there were 50 police enforcement there, and this was before SWAT, or I'm sure they'd have been there along with the state militia and the ladies' auxiliary post 309. You know, I mean, it's so big. You had to have some sort of catharsis, and either that or ignore it. I ignored it through drinking. This is my catharsis.
Yeah, I gotcha. Interesting stuff. Mafia, Cowboys, and Cocktails. Johnny Battaglia, I wish you the best with this book. You're a very funny guy. You got to come back on with us, okay?
If you insist.
If I insist. We're trying to give you 25 minutes of fame. Forget the 15.
Okay, I'll take your 25 and raise it 25. What do you say?
Hey, I'm a gambler. I like it. I'll do it.
Really?
I'll take it. Yeah, oh, yeah. Thanks, Johnny. That's great. Thanks. You appreciate it, man.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
All right, you take care. And again, interesting stories in sharing there with his father was a very famous man, certainly from a famous family, as he was weaving into some of the stories. And the last story telling you that he was just a kid when his father was shot by his mother, and that was a big story in Los Angeles, certainly. But the mafia had tentacles all over the place. In fact, I just read a story where there are 26 specific cities in the United States where there's still serious mafia ties that go through the Italian route. I mean, there's other forms of mafia, and you could pin other stereotypes to it, but strictly Sicily, ties from Sicily, ties from Italy. You got 26 big cities. Can you guess what those cities are? If you were thinking, New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, that would be a couple of them on the list. Just say that. There's some big hints for you. If you were thinking Chicago, perhaps parts of Florida, that would also work as well. Anyway, in the book, it's interesting because he talks about some of the real specific things that he overheard and some of what it was like to grow up where things fall off the truck and you pretty much get anything you want. You heard him tell that Monty Hall story just there. Interesting stuff, good stuff. Reminds me of watching The Sopranos. Ooh, I was hooked into that series. Don't know about you guys. Hey, you can shoot me an email, day or night, americatonight.net.